I would like us now to return to that chapter which we read together, Genesis chapter 27, and to consider this chapter and something of the message that is here for us tonight. We are all sinners. We're far from what we should be. God's word says to us, be ye holy, for I am holy. Are you holy? You're called a saint, but are you saintly? Do we not all come far short of what we should be? Jesus said to us, love your enemies. Do you love all your enemies? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Are you like that? We're told, flee from idolatry. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Do you have idols? We're told, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Are you growing in grace? When were you converted? Have you been growing since then? Have you got more grace today than you had then? Have you got more intimate knowledge of God today? We're told, pray without ceasing. Do you pray without ceasing? So, friends, surely all of us have to admit that we're sinners and that we have need of a day of humiliation and prayer. We need to repent. We need to confess our sins. We need to pray for forgiveness. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to live the sort of lives we should be living. I'd like us to look tonight at the four prominent individuals that are brought before us in this chapter and to consider them in turn. First of all, backslidden Isaac. When we first come across Isaac, he's a very impressive young man. You remember how he was circumcised at 8 days old, brought up by godly Abraham and Sarah his wife, how they loved him and cared for him and valued him and taught him the covenant and taught him the promises and taught him his duties and responsibilities. Do you remember how when God said to Abraham, offer your son Isaac, how Isaac climbed onto that altar and allowed himself to be tied onto the altar? He knew that a sacrifice was necessary. He knew what the word of God said. And he submitted to God's word. And he waited for the knife to strike him. He was a type of Christ, a willing sacrifice. And you remember later on how he was happy to allow the servant to go to find a wife for him because he believed that God would find a wife for him. And you remember when the servant came back with Rebekah, there was Isaac, the godly young man, out in the field praying, meditating at eventide, praying to the Lord, committing his life to the Lord, seeking his partner from the Lord, and how he took Rebekah from the Lord, loved her, and things were going so well. But now he's an old man. We're told that his eyes were dim so that he could not see. Now he's blind. And it would seem that he's taken to his bed and he's thinking he's about to die. Well, actually, he lived on a good many years after this, but at this point, no doubt he was sick and frail and blind, and he felt he was dying. But you get the impression, really, that he's really not in a great state spiritually, is he? He's very much concerned with his stomach and with the pleasures of eating and drinking. And he's forgetting the word of God and the promise that was made with regard to Jacob and the way Esau was bypassed. And he thinks, well, he can make more of Esau. And he thinks he can bless Esau. He's backslidden. He's grown cold and hard and unspiritual. And he's about to give his final blessing, but he doesn't ask God for directions. And he doesn't say, Lord, who do you want me to bless? But he's determined he's going to go his own way. There's no seeking of directions. Your pride has come in there. And a kind of know-it-all attitude. That's one of the dangers as people get older. Pride. And they think they know it all. And they think they're so wise. And really, the oldest of us and the wisest of us is a fool. We're all fools unless we are waiting upon the Lord and hearing what God has to say to us. He loved Esau. And what does the Bible tell us about Esau? Hebrews chapter 12. That profane man who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. Profane. Ungodly. He valued a plate of food more than his heavenly birthright. A godless man. And yet Isaac loved him. And loved him more than his son Jacob. He loved him because he brought him venison. He thought of Esau as this athletic man and this hunter, and he looked up to him and he loved the venison that he got. And he was indulgent towards him. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. How sad it is. He wants, now that he's dying, he wants, and he fantasizes, what a wonderful it'll be to have delicious venison. And then some wine to drink. And then when my heart is merry, then I'll bless you, my son. Hardened, cold, worldly and fleshly. Well, isn't that a warning to us? Isaac, a patriarch. Isaac, the godly young man. The old backslider. Think of the church in Ephesus, forsaking her first love. The church at Laodicea, become lukewarm. The church at Sardis, you have a name that you live and are dead. Well, do we not have a need to look into our own hearts, to confess our own sins, our backsliding, our coldness, our deadness, our hardness, our worldliness, our pride, and our lack of waiting upon the Lord and praying to the Lord? So that's the first thing we have here. Backslidden Isaac. Then secondly, scheming Rebecca. She too was a godly young woman. And you remember how she accepts God's guidance. Wilt thou go with this man? Will you leave your home and your family and your friends and leave everything behind and commit yourself to the covenant family? Will you commit your life to Christ? Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. she left everything to join the people of God and to join the one who had the promises. She trusted the covenant God. And then the time came when she became pregnant. And during her pregnancy, she had a strange feeling inside her. There seemed to be some terrible turmoil going on inside her. And she couldn't understand what it was. And she prayed to the Lord and asked, "Lord, what is it?" She was a praying woman, godly woman. And the Lord told her, "Well, there's actually a fight going on inside you. There's two little babies fighting with one another because actually there's two nations inside you. And the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." She took that word of God, she believed it. And the years have gone by. And then one day, she hears her old husband Isaac talking to Esau and saying, "Go out into the field, get some venison, make a tasty meal for me, and I will bless you before I die." And she knew that the blessing wasn't for Esau. The blessing had to be for Jacob. "Jacob have I loved." God's blessing had to be on him. He was the blessed one. And blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. She knew that. God had revealed it to her. Perhaps she had even spoken, very likely, even spoken to Isaac and said, "Isaac, you can't. You can't give that blessing to Esau. It's meant for Jacob." But Isaac wouldn't listen. He had made up his mind. He wanted to bless his favourite firstborn son. So she thought, God needs a little bit of help. This is a dangerous situation. I know what I'll do. We have scheming Rebecca here, forgetting the sovereignty of God, forgetting what God had planned, forgetting what God had said before the children were born. Did God need her scheme? Of course he didn't. God doesn't need our lies, our deceit, our tricks to bring about his purposes. We must believe in the sovereignty of God. We must believe God is in control. But she forgets God's sovereignty, and she calls her younger son Jacob, and she says, "Go out to the flock, bring me two really good kids of the goats, and I'll make some delicious food such as your father loves, and you'll bring it in, and you'll pretend that you're Esau, and you'll get the blessing." And so Jacob goes and he gets the kids, and she makes a savoury meat, and she's planned it all out really well, and she takes the skin off the kids, and she manages to put it onto Jacob's hands to sew it on, and some must have been really well done, and then put some of the skin round his neck so that it will feel really hairy, and then she gets some clothes of Esau, and she puts the clothes on him, and Jacob says, "But what if my father realizes that it's Jacob?" "Don't worry, my son. You won't be cursed. Curses on you, on me, not on you." She knew that he would be blessed. She said, "The curse be on me." But scheming Rebecca, God doesn't need our schemes. He doesn't need our pretense. He doesn't need our lies. She failed to trust. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall thee sustain. You and I, what do we do so often? We come to God with our burden, pray to God to deal with it, and then we pick it up and take it back with us, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. She was leaning on her own understanding, wasn't she? Trying out her own tricks in order to get the blessing for her favourite son, Jacob, but also the son that God had promised to bless. So here again, we have to ask ourselves, are we schemers? Are we liars? Are we deceitful? Or are we trusting God and trusting God's plans? Thirdly, we have here deceptive Jacob. Deceptive Jacob. Esau draws attention, verse 36, to Jacob's name. He caught his brother in the womb, you remember. And when Esau came out first, Jacob had a hold of his heel. And they called him Jacob, supplanter, deceiver. He deceived. And he took away Esau's birthright first. Esau's brother came in from the field hungry. He saw his opportunity. You would have thought he would be quite willing to give a plate of food to his brother, but tried to get a hard bargain. And he said, give me your birthright and you can have this plate of broth. Took away Esau's birthright and now the blessing. He's a bit uneasy. He's a bit afraid of following the scheme of Rebekah. What if my father finds out? What if a curse comes on me? But Rebekah says, the curse be on me. He should have resisted his mother. He should have believed himself and the sovereignty of God and left it in God's hands. But he went ahead and he lied. He acted the part. And he was a really good actor. But one thing he couldn't act was Esau's voice. He was good at doing the actions. Good at coming up with words. But he couldn't mimic his brother's voice. But later on, he who had been, who lied to his father, was often lied to. Remember how he went to Paddan Aram? And how he asked Laban for Rachel as wife? And how he worked for 7 years in order to have Rachel? And under cover of darkness, Laban, the deceitful Laban, brought in Leah. And he slept with Leah, and only in the morning did he realize what he had been doing. So he had to work for another 7 years in order to get the wife that he desired. 14 years working for his wives. And then, time and time again, Laban would promise him wages and change his wages. And then the worst lie of all, you remember, was when Joseph was sold into Egypt. And his brothers, Joseph's brothers, took the coat of many colours, dipped it in the blood of an animal, a kid, brought it to the father and said, do you recognise this coat? Yes, it's my son Joseph's coat. He was lied to. He didn't know that his son had been sold as a slave to Egypt. He was deceived himself. You see, lies lead to further lies. And so he had to endure this himself. But here he goes into his dad and says, "I brought the venison." And his dad says to him, "Who is it?" And he says, "It's Esau." And his dad suspected, "No, it's Jacob." But he said, "Come near so that I can feel you." And felt his hands, and he felt hairy. And he took the food and he ate it. And he said, "Come near so that I will kiss you." And put his arm round his neck. I felt the hairy neck. Smelt the smell of Esau's clothes. The voice was the voice of Jacob. But the feel and the words and the lies, his father thought it's Esau. And so his father blessed him. Are you a deceiver? Do you ever tell lies? Are you a hypocrite? Do you ever pretend, put on a show for people? Do you put on a show in church as if you were a good living person? And maybe at home, losing your temper. Maybe lustful. Maybe covetous. Maybe grumbling and discontented. And yet pretending to follow the Lord and to walk in the Lord's ways. Deceitful lies. God hates lies. No liar shall inherit the kingdom of God. Without our liars outside the New Jerusalem. And yet, are we not all guilty sometimes of telling lies? Do we need, not all of us need, to humble ourselves and pray for forgiveness and repent and seek mercy of the Lord? Deceptive Jacob. And then finally we have here profane Esau. A profane person who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. When he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected and found no place of repentance, though he sought it earnestly with tears. I remember somebody asking me, why could Esau not repent? Why did he not find a place of repentance? He was weeping. He was weeping and weeping. And he found no place of repentance. Think of Peter. Peter denied his Lord. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And he found a place of repentance. So why was Esau denied a place of repentance? Because it was the wrong kind of repentance he was looking for. What kind of repentance did he want? It wasn't his own repentance. It was his father to repent. And it was his father to give him earthly blessings. That's what he was concerned about. Hast thou not one blessing for me? For me, just one blessing. And he wept before his father. I want a blessing. Some earthly blessing. It wasn't that he was repenting of being a profane man. It wasn't that he was sorry that because of his sins and his wickedness and he was asking for forgiveness. If we repent, if we seek the Lord, if we humble ourselves before God, the Lord will hear and the Lord will answer and the Lord will save. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They that mourn over their sins. So he was a profane person. He wasn't a true penitent. It wasn't real repentance. It was just trying to get his father to repent. And it was tears for earthly blessings. A callous man. He despised spiritual things. His spiritual birthright and place amongst the covenant community, he sold for a place of for a plate of soup. He had been circumcised at 8 days old, just like Jacob. You've been baptized. Have you lived according to your baptism? Part of the covenant community. He came with the venison. And then when he realized what his brother had done, there was no acceptance of it. There was anger and a desire to murder his brother. It showed the kind of heart he had. Profane man, a wicked man, an ungodly man. In the end, his father does give him one blessing. He says to him in verse 39, and Isaac his father said, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth." Yes, he would prosper, he would have earthly things, and of the dew of heaven above. "By thy sword shalt thou live," violence, "and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." If only he had served his brother. If only he had continued to serve his brother. If only he had stayed within the covenant community, but instead he broke off the yoke of his brother, separated from his brother, went his own way, left the covenant people of God behind, departed from amongst God's people, and hated his brother. Hatred comes from the devil, and here is Esau, led by the devil. No submission to the will of God. He had godly parents. He had been taught and trained. But he needed to have personal faith. And he didn't have it. We can be well brought up. But unless we come to the point where we ourselves put our trust in Christ, it's no use. It's all in vain. Circumcision won't save us and baptism won't save us. Godly parents won't save us. Being part of the covenant community won't save us. We have to come to the point where we ourselves put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Faith is the one requirement of the covenant of grace. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you believe, you'll be saved. If you don't, you'll be lost. So here we have Esau, profane Esau, worldly, materialistic, motivated by hatred and bitterness towards his brother. Well, four very different individuals in the chapter. Backsliding old Isaac. Scheming Rebekah, who failed to trust in sovereign God. Deceptive Jacob, lying in order to get the blessing. He got it. God meant him to get it. But God didn't need his lies. And his lies brought chastisement upon him. And he had to suffer for it for the rest of his life. And then finally, profane Esau, who broke off the yoke of his brother, went his own way to a lost eternity. Let us pray. O Lord, O God, help us to learn from the Holy Scriptures. Help us more and more to get insight into thy word and to hear and see how thy word refers to us and challenges us and speaks to us in our situation. Lord, open our ears to hear what God the Lord will speak for to his people He'll speak peace. And grant that we would hear that message of gospel peace and encouragement, and that we would trust in a sovereign God. Forgive us, Lord, for all our backslidings, all our wanderings, all our deceitfulness, and all our failure to trust Thee. For Jesus' sake, Amen.